His name is David Luke Flatman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Flats and Shanks. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Ill Tom Shanklin.
Oh, no, you weren't going to mention it, were you? Ill, as in what rappers used to say, ill, like sick, like dope, like actually really good. I'm ill.
No one says ill. I've never, ever heard that. I've heard them say sick, like, but not...
Bro.
I'm ill.
Bro, you're not even part of the grime scene. You don't even know.
Ill.
You know Nas, the rapper, N-A-S, Nas, Nas?
Yeah.
His first album, Illmatic, one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time. I'm ashamed to say this. I stole, and my family now know about this, I stole 10 quid off my little sister to go and buy that. I stole her pocket money to buy it. My dad sat me down. He's like, did you take your sister's pocket money? No. Did you take your sister's pocket money? Yes. Can she have it back? Technically, no. I've bought a rap CD with it.
You're very diverse because, you know, sometimes I look at you and I think, right, you are flat out.
Farmer.
Kenny Rogers. In the car. With your tweed, with your bell bottoms, with your boots.
I haven't got bell bottoms. You stop saying that.
And then you turn up the other day in Cardiff and you've got like a flat out tracksuit on with Nike Air Maxes. Like, but then it's like a tracksuit with skinny bottoms, skinny bottom tracksuit.
Footballers tracksuits.
And I think, wow, you know, where's the middle ground?
I can do it all, kid. And yeah, I'll do farmer chic as well. Yeah. I do what I want. Does what he wants. I'm like Drogba, mate, when it comes to getting dressed. You know?
When it gets, dressed and music.
Yeah, but I do what I want. And it's like, I'll get in the car and I could listen to Dire Straits, London Grammar, although that sometimes makes me cry. London Grammar, I could listen to Jay-Z, I could listen to thrash metal, anything.
Thrash metal?
Yeah.
You can't even hear the lyrics in that.
I can. Just as long as it says destruction at least once per song, death, I'm happy. I don't listen to anything. I listen to stuff I like, but I like lots of different stuff.
You'd be a
stuff.
Really good spy.
Yeah, Mr. Grey.
You could blend in,
yeah.
Couldn't you?
Just hello, blend Mr. Grey. Yeah, but I think being isn't 20 that stone and
isn't
bald
that 50 Shades?
Yeah. Right. I think being 20 stone and bald wouldn't be very handy. You need to be able to blend into the background. I can in my musical taste, but not physically.
Like Russia.
Yes, true, actually. Have you seen that?
During the Cold War.
There's... Harry Allen, one of the producers at Sunset and Vine, do all the BT Sports stuff, is a friend of mine, and yours actually. And he texted me last night, and he's like, "You've got to look. I think it's only in Russia. It's called this Twitter account, and it's absolutely shocking. Like the stuff. It's very very good. Let me tell you exactly what it's called now. Crazy in Russia. It's called at Crazy in Russia on Twitter. Very,
videos very or messages?
Videos and pictures.
Okay.
It's carnage. But it's really, really good. Some of it will make you cringe because you think someone's about to get hurt, but they don't generally. So,
I tell you what I bumped into the other day at this School of Hard Knocks lunch was Darren Morris.
Did you?
Yeah.
Chip and Chase for the
Big
Lions.
Big DM, yeah. He's over in Dallas now coaching.
Is he?
He was in Russia, I think.
Oh, right.
But now he's over in Dallas. Yeah, he seems to pick up a good gig over there.
Good on him.
Yeah, nice place to go. But yeah, he was over for a bit.
DM with JR.
Nice to see him. Mm. Yeah, he was the Chip and Chase merchant.
What a player he was.
Yeah.
What a player. You know, playing against him, Robin McBride and Ben Evans in a Welsh game, a Wales A or something. And you know, they were all, you had the three completely different human beings. Darren Morris he looked like a big pudding, but actually he was like a big bloke. He looked like not in great shape, but actually he was really mobile, mega skillful, hell of a player.
He was skillful.
Robin McBride could have had his own horror movie.
He won Wales Amateur Strongest Man.
Yeah, but he was just like, and he just had cruel intentions.
Years ago, Dwayne Peel and I, we're both young, and we went to South Africa, 2002, I think it was. We were like 20 maybe, or before that even. We were 20 or 21, and Robin McBride won Wales' Strongest Man Amateur, Strongest Man. And we passed his shop and we saw a load of butch dog food. So he bought like 10 tins and put it outside his door.
did I tell the story about him the other day, but So anyway, in this front row, and then you had Ben Evans, who was massive, like massive bloke, but he was so immaculately groomed that I was like, I look back and remember smelling of aftershave in a scrum. He didn't, but that's my memory. And seeing him after the game, massive unit, but just immaculate.
Used to be a nightmare to change next to, because he used to love baby talc.
Did he?
Yeah, it used to be like, like the start of Stars in Their Eyes when they come out from all the smoke.
Yeah.
He used to be like,
yeah.
He used to put talc everywhere.
Yeah.
Proper old school.
Do you remember, I swear, Robin
my dad uses talk.
Remember Gerald Arasa? Obviously, we know Gerald Arasa played for Saris with us. I remember I lockered next to him for a few years at Saris. And I remember him, a lot of people would apply body lotion or moisturiser after a shower to certain parts or all of their body. I remember sitting next to G, and we're all pretty close. And he is applying, he's rubbing it. I don't know how to put this without it being really inappropriate. He moisturised his body, I'm sure he did, but a particular part of his anatomy took great care to moisturise every square inch of surface area of every real estate.
I'm not sure which is stranger, Gerald doing that or you watched him do it.
And I was like, gee, you're doing a lot of, do you normally moisturise that? And he said, you got to take care of business, Flatsy. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start doing that.
I basically just do my nose and forehead because no one wants Parmesan cheese nose, do they? Where it looks like...
No.
Flicking your nose like that and Parmesan cheese is coming off
bro.
It.
I think I get beardruff. I wear like a navy or a black jumper, I get beardruff, which women and men alike love. I mean, they love it. Really. But anyway, Robin McBride, I remember him. So the front row was me, Mark Regan and Julian White. So Ronnie Regan has a bit of a, I think he like puts the nut on Robin McBride at a scrum and he's through a reset. And on the way up, Ronnie just used to nut someone or knee him on the way up. The ref says, come on boys, a reset. Just standing up, Ronnie just give you a dig, just to annoy you. And Robin McBride said something like, you're a twat, you shut up, whatever it was. And then Robin McBride said, I'll see you after. And Ronnie said, what? He had his arms around me and Whitey. And he's like, what, behind a bike shed, is it? Gonna have a little snog, are we? It's like I remember just laughing, and Ben Evans started laughing. Darren, we were just laughing. Robin McBride was seething; he wanted to kill him. See you after. We'll be on a bike shed.
Nothing worse than snogging. When you're aggressive like that, you want someone to be aggressive back, don't you?
Yeah. I remember we're massive tangent now, but it's what we do. Playing Bath against Bristol, and we had Duncan Bell. There was this big. It came up from a scrum, and it was a bit pushing and shoving. And they had Darren Crompton at tight end, and we had Duncan Bell at tight end. And Steve Borthwick was arguing with one of the Bristol players, like having a shout of second row, you're a twat. And then he said something like, and Belly didn't say anything. And someone, the Bristol player, who was it? I can't remember who it was, turned to him and just said, you can shut up, you fat bastard. And Belly said, what have I done? I ain't done anything. And then Borthwick pointed at Darren Crompton and Belly. Pointed at Belly, he's like, I'd rather have that fat bastard than that fat bastard. And DC was like, now what have I done?
Don't bring me into it.
Yeah, I won't do nothing. Oh. Belly looked at DC and he's like, we haven't done nothing.
Do you know what I saw walking back to my car after the England game the weekend?
Who?
Chris Chesney.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was texting me actually.
Yeah. He now looks like someone out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he looks like Mountain out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, not as big. But
No one's as big.
And he doesn't have a... He's got a squeaky voice.
All right, Flatsy. All right, Shanksy.
He's not as masculine as the Mountain.
All right, mate. I played all right. Didn't I think I played all right?
Yeah, but big grey goatee coming down. He looked like a baddie from a film.
Yeah. But and then you look like a Nightwalker. So we're a right pair.
Yeah.
Lost a bit of weight, have I? Do you think
Yeah. We mentioned it. I mean, bear in mind now, this is the second pod that we bring out weekly. Now, if you want to hear anything to do with the Six Nations and the rugby that's gone on during that weekend, you have to go on to our Six Nations ITV podcast.
Yeah.
We're not talking Six Nations on this whatsoever, but what we are doing is talking about weight loss.
Yeah.
And
if that noise, by the way, you've heard it before, guys. It's Daisy the cat.
And what,
Daisy, shut it.
And it is, am I thinking it is IBS or is it... Are you on the thermoballs or stress or are you ill?
I'm love sick.
Are you?
I'm love sick.
Because you found your dog.
No, I was all right about the dog.
But if you want to find out what happened to the dog, tune into the ITV.
It's a hell of a story. But I'm love sick. But that's fine. I just been put right off my food. I've gone down to 21 stone. Look, you, Shanks, you just hang here for a sec, okay, and tell people what we're going to talk about with the Prem and the other stuff, and I'm going to put Daisy the cat out because okay. This is real life, guys.
That's fine. So, yeah, this week we will be talking about the Aviva Prem. It's the only thing to talk about on this week's pod. We'll talk about Bath's win against Northampton, 32-9. A couple of other surprising results. That epic Exeter-Worcester, 6-5 to Worcester.
Wow. I'm back. Couldn't get Daisy out. Doesn't want to go out, so she might just make some noise, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, just saying about the Exeter-Worcester game, 6-5.
They deserved it. Worcester were great. And
I couldn't wait for that one, to watch that on the ITV highlights.
Do you watch it? Channel 5, Tom.
That's the one I meant.
You bell.
Well, we do work for both now, don't we?
Yeah, and BBC.
Yeah. So
and BT Sport.
All of them.
I know. It's funny. Everyone's very friendly, though. It's all very... Everyone's chilled about working for different channels, all that sort of stuff. It's quite nice.
It's freelance now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm just trying to... yeah. So, where were you at the weekend?
I was after Dublin. I went to Dublin for the Ireland game, but it's funny because we got there on Friday night and got a couple of mates texting me. My mum's texting me, how's Dublin, darling? It'll be a nice time.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You were the dilly-d bars.
It's like I got to my hotel room at 8:30 and I didn't leave it until 11 o'clock the next morning to go to the match. That is the reality of life on the road. I call it prep time. It's actually watching telly in my pants and getting room service, which is just heaven, isn't it?
Did you watch Altered Carbon? I think that's what it's called, the new series on Netflix.
No, I watched... Okay. I finished off series 3 of... Not only... I'm going to say this. I'm going to say I think it's the best thing I've watched since The Sopranos. And not only do I think that, Ricky Gervais thinks that. He said... Series 3 of Gomorrah. I've watched all 3 of Gomorrah. It is just fantastic. It's brilliant.
On Netflix?
Yep. Okay. No, Sky box sets.
Okay.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's got subtitles, so you've got to be able to read.
Oh, nightmare.
So you battle with that. But do you know why subtitle shows are good? It's because you don't look at your phone the whole way through it, because you can't. And you've got to sit and look at the telly, which is not exactly a noble quest, but it...
No, I know what you mean. You have to concentrate fully
for
it. It's a bit like going to cinema. You know, you don't check your phone at the cinema, really.
No.
You know, you're there to watch a film. So that's why I think it's...
Was I with you in the cinema that time when there was a group of lads that had been really noisy? Yeah. Oh, no, I was with my ex-girlfriend that I lived in when we lived in London, and I was with her, and these lads were like making loads of noise, 4 or 5 lads, and they were like...
Yeah, we've done...
What?
We've done this one.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
I killed them all.
Yeah.
Different story.
When you got outside?
No, I did Bruce Lee. I snapped all their necks, like martial arts.
And they said something like, wow, man, 6 shoes or...
I know, but that's different. That's where I screamed in a cinema.
Oh, right.
I screamed.
What's this one then?
I jumped. It's when it was like, right, someone's got to tell them to be quiet, but they were really loud and aggressive.
Oh, no, I don't think I've heard this one.
So I was like, I remember sitting there.
Sorry.
Like, yeah, sorry. And she was like, Flats, tell them to shut up. I was like, yeah, what? I can hear it perfectly. Tell them to shut up. And then someone else looked over and said, can you tell them to me? Because I was like, I looked bigger than everyone else in the row sort of thing. And in the end, they were like on their phones. And I was like, I just leant over and I tapped this guy on the shoulder. I was like, boys, any danger? Like, what? And I was like, just be quiet. Like, they're like, sorry, man. All right. I was like, completely worked. My legs were like jelly. I was like, you know, if I had to fight, I would have fought to the death. You know that, yeah? Yeah. And I had weapons on me, big time. I had a lot of weapons on me. But
like what?
These two things. I'm holding up my hands. But it was, I was like
licorice shoelaces.
Yeah. So I will go.
Gobstoppers, which are really hard. You can throw them.
I just put a house key in between my knuckles. But I was like, this could end in tears. But I had to do it. I was backed into a corner and I had to tell them all to shut up. And I did. And it worked. And I was like the hero. And then we walked out the cinema. I was like, are they going to attack me? Are they going to attack me? So as I was walking out, I remember taking my watch off and stick it in my pocket. So just in case I had to throw down and kick 5 heads in North London style.
I love the cinema, right? But I hate noise. I hate it when people are just, I think we spoke about this before, just eating sweets next to me nonstop. I'm rustling around in the bag trying to find the ones at the bottom.
Oh.
They're just like, eat your sweets.
That's me.
Eat your sweets before the film starts. No problem whatsoever.
Everybody finishes their snacks pre-film.
But don't eat them the whole way through, making so much noise. Oh my God.
But you also know that if they're the sort of person that's paced their snacking, that you're not going to get on. Fact. You're just not going to get on. So you hate them anyway, because they're NOSP. They're not our sort of people.
Exactly.
Got it?
Yeah. So what else happened at the weekend? So you went to cover the Aviva game where?
I went to the Twickenham Stoop to watch Quins against Wasps, and it was proper fascinating. So sitting there watching, Carl Eastman got a red card, And it was a fascinating thing because he's been defending really, really well. Like, he's little, but he's mega aggressive and strong. And I like the way he defends personally. And but he got it wrong at the weekend.
He accelerates into tackles.
He's hard. He's brave. And he's aggressive. And I like that. So he swung an arm into Morris, the fullback. And as soon as he did it, I was sitting with Mark Durden-Smith. And I was like, boom. As soon as he did it, I said, he is gone. He is gone. And I think they might have said, the TMI might have said to Barnsley, Wayne Barnes, have a look at that in a sec, Barnsley. And Barnsley might have letting the play carry on.
Yeah.
Before that phase of play ended, Kyle put a massive high shot with his shoulder into Marcus Smith's chops, and it all kicked off a little bit, handbags.
So twice.
So he committed a potential red card offence while he was on basically waiting. They're waiting to have a look at his last tackle, which was a red card offence.
While he's on bail.
He's on bail. So he's like, yeah, while he's on report. So he's like, double red. So he had to go, which is a great shame for him for the game. But then minutes after he left, you saw Marcus Smith rip through the midfield and they couldn't quite convert it. They got really close three or four times, Quinns, but couldn't score. Really good defence generally by Jack Willis in the back row, who was fantastic for Wasps, man of the match. But you think, are they going to get shredded here, Wasps? Because Cipriani's lost his creative partner, his defensive partner, that sort of stuff. Oh my days, Wasps were fantastic. Willie LaRue, Cipriani.
How good is Willis?
Oh, he's brilliant.
I watched a lot of him in Anglo-Welsh because that's normally the only chance he gets because they've got a lot of strength in depth and back row, haven't they?
Yeah.
But he hits so hard. He's so good over the ball as well.
Yeah.
And it's not just being good over the ball, isn't it? It's about how you arrive at the ruck as well, because there's no point if you arrive late or you arrive early, sometimes it's no good. You have to arrive at the exact moment. And he hooks his arms around players, you know, especially when they're trying to post the ball through their legs to stop the ball coming out.
Yeah. Carries well as well.
Naturally big bloke as well, you know, so he doesn't need loads of condition to get himself up to a heavy weight. You know, he's got natural strength in him, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of players that they can have a cold or the flu and all of a sudden, then, you know, they've lost 3 or 4 kilos and look nothing like what weight they should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Tom Crawford was a bit like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sam Warburton's a bit like that. You know, they need a lot of condition to stay big, whilst he's just thick set.
He's a nice size. He's a good size. And I was saying this to you yesterday, wasn't I? You don't want to... I'm not saying this guy's the next Richie McCaw, so no one's saying I'm saying that because I'm not. But a lot of what he does is sort of McCaw-esque. He seems to be able to do everything to a very competent level and consistently and doesn't give away loads of penalties. And it's very early, but I mean, geez, he looked good. He looked really, really good. Like that, liked watching him a lot. And what Wasps to win with 14 men. I mean, Kyle got sent off after 16 minutes. Mm. And that is just devastating for Quinns. I mean, they were really poor. They got shredded defensively, even with an extra man. It just
still
was
a good team out as well. You know, and you look at Jamie Roberts marching in the centres. And normally, when a team gets cut, it's normally because of the inexperience in the centres, because centres play a huge role in either blitzing or drifting. You know, they're the two that you need in the middle.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have very good experience there. But when you have got someone like Cipriani with fastball pulling the strings, we speak about him nearly every other week about how good he is.
Yeah.
And
he was fantastic. I mean,
it's his delay of passes which really surprised defences, because you think he's going to hold on to it, all of a sudden then he puts someone through a hole, he delays it, he waits for, I suppose, defenders to make a decision on who they're going to take, and then the space opens up, but he's still got the skill and the delivery of the pass to put players through the hole.
But he didn't try and be a rock star because they're a man down. He didn't panic.
He didn't try and be a Shanklin, you're right.
He didn't try and be a Shanklin. But he's announced today that he's leaving Wasps at the end of the season.
You know where?
Don't know where, actually. I've heard rumours of one or two places, but they're all rumours. But, you know, I'm not being smug about this, but you always find stuff out earlier when you're a player or an ex-player, and knew about that around.
Did you speak to people?
Yeah, I knew about that a couple of months ago, but just it's one of those things that people view that sort of information differently. I receive that sort of information and I don't feel an overpowering need to tell the world via Twitter or my podcast, our podcast or whatever, or on telly. Some people do, and that's fine, and it's fun when they do, actually, if we're honest, because we like the information. But I think, well,
you're just stirring the pot, really, aren't you?
Someone's told me that, in whether it's confidence or not, they haven't said please broadcast this, so I don't personally. So, but I just want everyone to know that I knew about it, so they still think I'm cool.
Yeah,
Get me?
That's what I remember you telling me, yeah. And I told everyone.
How about Bath against Saints on Friday night? Bashed them. First half was quite even, but Banahan just tore it up.
Well, we sort of thought Northampton had turned a little corner.
Yeah.
And they had some really good performances, didn't they, in that Anglo-Welsh. Mm. And not much has changed, you know, in their 15 that they've selected. You know, they've still... Ken Peasy has had a good couple of weeks. Stevenson at 12s looked pretty sharp. Reinach at 9. So, a pretty strong team for Northampton. But
it is
just
a good team.
Just taken apart, though, by...
Just not doing it.
By Bath.
Banahan, I thought, was great.
You find that, though, like, because he's leaving at the end of the season. How many players, when they're leaving at the end of the season, all of a sudden, you know, I suppose the pressure's off a little bit
they
for
have a
him.
Spike, don't they?
They just peak.
Yeah, and he'll probably have a spike when he gets to Gloucester as well.
He's always been good, though, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he has.
He's such a good player to have in your squad because he plays everywhere. You play him at 12, 13, 15, 14.
With Priestland out, Burns looks really, really good. He's really taken that shot. Foto Ali, I thought, put some great hits in, defended really, really well. But I thought Tapuai and Hurrell, Tapuai are very different players, but through the midfield, they created dents and they just narrowed up Northampton beautifully. And when you see him front rowers running in tries, grinning, I said at the highlights show, it's like that is painful for a defensive line.
Have a look at this. You've got
narrowed in.
You've got Tuala at 15, you've got Ken Peasy, you've got Horn, you've got Stevenson, you've got Foden, you've got Francis. Didn't score any tries, and they're all really attacking players as well. So it shows you possibly how poor the Northampton attack was, but also how good the defence was from Bath.
But also, yeah, good defence, but also, you know, it's all very well getting a lot of good players on that. You got to coach them, you know.
Yeah, no, but they're attacking players, you know. They want to attack. They've got good footwork.
Yeah.
They're elusive, and for them not to come up with one try whatsoever is quite disappointing. So
yeah,
that up and down season for Northampton is just continues.
That. But you know, again, I said this on the telly, so apologies if you listen to this. I'm repeating myself, but London Irish are almost not quite the new London Welsh. They're giving everyone a safety net. So while it's depressing to keep losing, it's not actually worrying.
No, not at all. Because you know someone's going to go down.
Not actually worried. I think the results we can politely kind of gloss over a bit. London Irish 9, Sale 13. Not a good game. Not a great day. Not a great crowd, not much atmosphere, pretty depressing. Glad London Irish got a losing bonus point, but the try they conceded to Strauss was just way too easy off the base of a scrum. Way, way too easy. Shouldn't be conceding that.
You've got to make teams work to score tries, haven't you?
Yeah, that was just way too easy.
Gifting teams tries is just soul-destroying as well because they don't have to work for it. It's like intercepts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's killer. It's absolutely killer. And Saracens 25, Newcastle 3. I mean, it's... As Dirty said on the telly, it's just a regulation win for Sarries. It was brutal day, horrible weather.
It's a regulation win, but let's not forget, Newcastle...
Won the last 10 games.
Yeah, have been a huge surprise, I think, this season.
Yeah.
To play as well as they have.
I'd love
to win as many games as they have.
I'd love them to be in the top four. It'd be great.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty regulation win. Sarries a bit too powerful. Barrington, really, really good at loose head, and he's a bit of a favourite of mine because he's, you know, basically... loves to crack as well as loves playing a bit.
Yeah.
So he had a really good game and scored from 75 metres / centimetres. But first, we'll go to Exeter in a minute, but let's go to Gloucester, who beat Leicester 24-17. And Matt O'Connor said that it was a Logo Mulapola yellow card that cost his team. And of course, they've lost by 7 points and they conceded 10 points while he was off. So he's got a point. But I still felt like Gloucester looked like the better side and I still felt like they would have won that match, whatever that means. And Trinder looks sharp, Ledry, Ludlow looks sharp, and Jason Woodward is just... Calling him phenomenon is lazy. That's too hyperbolic, but I think he is a genuinely special player.
He has to play fullback, though.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing him on the wing because he's not a winger. He's better than a winger. And I don't mean that disrespectfully.
You've said it now.
He's got more of a skill set suited to 15 than winger, is what I mean. He can play wing just as well, but... You want him in the game as much as possible because he's got a good passing game, because he's got a good offloading game, because he's got a good kicking game, because he's a difficult man to stop. You want him with his hands on the ball more so than on the wing, because when you're at 15, you know, you can counter-attack far more.
And you don't want him getting the ball when his space is gone, which happens to wingers a lot.
Do you know what was quite strange? It was the Scarlets losing to Benetton in their Pro 14. Now, Scarlets were top of Conference B, I think. Now they've gone down to two, number second, but... missing so many players through international duty.
Yeah.
You know, they...
The lot, aren't they, really? Like, it's crazy, the number.
There was nine playing starting 15 for Wales. Even more so, I think there's 10 or maybe 11 or 12
16
on the
bench. 16 in the starting 15.
Yeah. So you're not going to have the strength and depth. And they lost to Benetton, which is a bit of a shame. But it's not a true reflection of where they are.
Just annoying.
It is just annoying.
Good for Benetton, but it's just annoying. Benetton were missing a load of players as well.
It's good for Wales because...
Hey, Benetton were missing a load of players, almost the whole forward pack. Don't come with that, mate.
Not as many as the Scarlets.
Okay, not far off, so don't come with that.
But yeah, so...
Scarlets have lost it.
The Blues won against the Cheetahs. Pretty decent.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
They should have won, really. I mean, it's...
Of course they should. I mean, they had Nick Williams play pretty well.
Plays well.
Yeah, but he had a better game, a more influential game, and Ellis Jenkins in back row as well. That was
I suppose a big Williams? Difference.
42. No, not a
he's not as old as Te Alfau Felice.
No.
Not as old as Big Fowl.
No.
The Tongan giant with the gold teeth.
Yeah.
8% body fat at 20 stone. Yeah, and veins.
Loves
in his
KFC.
Arms, doing shoulder press with 60 kilo dumbbells like it ain't even a thing. Right, let's talk about the big result, Tommy, which is Exeter 5, Worcester 6.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like a terrible game. Actually wasn't. Really, Worcester really deserved that. Brutal over the breakdown. Really, really good in contact. Exeter not at it, just not accurate. Didn't look sharp. Haven't seen them play like that for ages. And I think Rob Baxter after the game talked about his team being out-muscled. And when your coach says that, that's a rifle up the backside, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's, you don't want to hear that.
And strange they got out of muscle because you look at the team that started and you got Ewers, you got Don Armand, you got Waldrum, Cowan Dickey.
Yeah, right? Proper job.
Woodburn, not many people out of muscle him. Witten at 13.
Mm. Strong proper job.
Yeah, so fair play to the Worcester Warriors.
Thought the Worcester back row were really good. Fausto Leva, Lewis van Veltzer, thought they were really, really sharp. And when you've got, I'm completely biased because I was a prop, but just... Worcester just looks so much more like winning when shown at place on the tight head because they just don't go backwards. They've always got good ball to play with and the opposition never quite get to do what they want from set piece in attack because he can be destructive and he can stop people going where they want to go. So, and Bryce Heem again, I thought he looked fab up against Ollie Woodburn, one of the form wingers in the league. I thought Bryce Heem had a great game and I've not seen him have a bad one actually. So that's a great win. And Carl Hogg said he's leaving or whatever it is, but he's leaving Worcester at the end of the season. And I think I don't think he will struggle for a job because you speak to the Worcester boys, you speak to the Gloucester boys he coached before that, and they say as a forwards coach, he's really, really good. A great guy, great man.
I suppose when you're looking for a coach, you want some character references, don't you?
Yeah. So you speak, we speak, if you ask someone on telly, is he a good coach? No one's going to say no. But when you speak to lads on touchlines and on WhatsApp and mucking about on email and at the pub sort of thing, then that's when you know, and they all say he's brilliant. You know, so-and-so should get him back, Gloucester should get him back, someone should take him, so I think he's going to be just fine. I think it's time for our Leo Vegas bet of the week, Tommy.
Yes, it is time, mate.
I would like us to bet on Newcastle against Bath.
On Friday.
Because I think that is a tricksy little fixie.
Yes.
And I think Newcastle will be hurting after getting pretty much dismissed by Sarries last weekend.
Yeah, and Bath will be pretty confident off the back of their win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big game, mate. I can see why you chose it.
Mm. I actually don't know which way I think it's going to go.
I think Newcastle.
Do you?
Yeah. But this one's down to you.
I know. See, I actually think, as soon as you say I think Bath are going to win, people sound biased because I played for Bath.
They're not.
I still think Bath will win that.
Yeah, well...
Newcastle could definitely win, but I think Bath will win. And I'm going to say Bath by 3 points. Because I think it'll be very tight.
Okay, so
Bath by three.
Bath to beat Newcastle by 3 points or more.
Having that?
Yeah, that's
all
fine.
Right. Good luck to me.
So that brings our podcast to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is a short and sharp one, but you know why? Because it's the second one.
Daisy, be quiet. Stop embarrassing me in front of my friends. We've got the noisiest cat in the world, man.
What's the matter with her?
We had two cats, and one of them sadly passed.
I think she's unhappy. Do you stroke her?
Via a Peugeot 306 in town, which was horrific. One of the worst days of my life. He was super noisy. Daisy never made a sound. And as soon as Henry died or was killed, Daisy became the loudest cat in the world. She inherited his voice box, and it is relentless. In the morning, she wants to wake up and go out. She will howl until you come downstairs and let her out. She's got a cat flap, won't use it.
You've got to stroke them and love them, though.
I'm allergic to cats. They get loads of strokes
and horses.
Just every, yeah. Oh yeah, went to Tinsey's house, didn't we? I was allergic to his racehorse. I'm a sensitive guy.
Right.
Anyway, see you around, everyone. Ta-ra.
Bye.